First Samuel chapter 16, if you would, please. And we're going to talk about another characteristic of the Christian life. And if you're keeping track, we're in the M's. All right? We are kind of going somewhat alphabetically through. And listen, these are not an exhaustive group of characteristics. There are literally hundreds of characteristics that we could work on. And many of them are very similar in nature to one another. They're all things that we can just develop and work on in our lives. If you'll stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, please. We'll be reading in 1 Samuel chapter 16. And then just a little bit in 1 Samuel 17 tonight for the beginning text of our study of this characteristic of modesty. You say, we're going to be talking about dress standards on Wednesday night? Modesty is much more than that. That's just a very small, superficial element of what true modesty is. Anyways, here we are in 1 Samuel 16, and I'll begin here in verse 14. We'll read down through 23, and then in chapter 17, verses 41 through 47. I'll read. You follow along this evening. But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. And Saul's servants said unto him, Behold now, an evil spirit from God troubleth thee. Let our Lord now command thy servants, which are before thee, to seek out a man who is a cunning player on an harp. And it shall come to pass, when the evil spirit from God is upon thee, that he shall play with his hand, and thou shalt be well. And Saul said unto his servants, Provide me now a man that can play well, and bring him to me. Then answered one of the servants and said, Behold, I have seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, that is cunning in playing, and a mighty valiant man, and a man of war, and prudent in matters, and a comely person. And the Lord is with him. Wherefore Saul sent messengers unto Jesse and said, Send me David thy son, which is with the sheep. And Jesse took an ass laden with bread and a bottle of wine and a kid and sent them by David his son unto Saul. And David came to Saul and stood before him. And he loved him greatly, and he became his armor bearer. And Saul sent to Jesse, saying, Let David, I pray thee, stand before me, for he hath found favor in my sight. And it came to pass, when the spirit of evil spirit from God was upon Saul, that David took an harp and played with his hand. So Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him. Now look to the next chapter in 1 Samuel 17 and verse 41. And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David. And the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, and he disdained him, for he was but a youth, and ruddy, and of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, Am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, Come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. Then said David to the Philistine, Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee, and take thine head from thee. And I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth, not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. Now, let me just be clear. The physical modesty, the clothing that is mostly talked about by folks, is important. Okay? I'm not taking away from the importance of dressing modestly.
But we're not even going to focus on that at all. Because once we get our hearts in the right place, that's just going to come naturally. There's not going to be any question of that at all. Really. Because our heart is going to be where it needs to be. We know that David was a man after God's own heart. Everybody understand? That's what the Bible tells of him in that way, in shape and form. A word that's associated with this thing of being modest is that word that we read about in 1 Samuel 16, that David was a comely person. Okay? That's an old word. It's kind of unused these days, that word comely. It's found quite often in Scripture, actually. But it simply means becoming suitable or graceful. Okay, that's what the word comely means. All right, and of course, as David was seen by Goliath, that he was this ruddy youth and this of a fair countenance. Okay, and so we see that, but it wasn't just his physical appearance; it was his appearance of the heart, if you will. All right, he was comely, he was becoming, he was suitable, he was graceful. He also had the ability to play with the harp, and that soothing playing, and that's even maybe perhaps his persona, as he was around Saul of a troubled spirit, calmed that troubled spirit and that difficulty that Saul had because of his disobedience to the Lord. Okay, this was not unwarranted. Everybody understands, right? Saul wasn't being punished for no reason. He had done something wrong, and the kingdom had been taken away from him, and such and so forth. So anyways, we see all this take place, and all these things happen. And so what is it that we can really learn from the life of David and from the life of others and the examples in the Bible about being modest or being comely, being becoming or suitable or graceful? And the word modest simply means restrained by a sense of propriety. Not forward or bold. Not presumptuous or arrogant. Not boastful. Moderate. Not excessive or extreme. Not extravagant. And in a moral sense, not loose or lewd. So it really is, it goes through a broad spectrum. But isn't ultimately that thing of restraint, that thing of not being boastful, or that thing of being moderate or not excessive or extreme, this thing of being modest? Okay? Now, you say what you read about David and his battle with Goliath, he was pretty bold there. Yes, he was. But not on his own behalf. On the behalf of his God. You know, very carefully, he said that God would defeat the giant. David was just a tool. And he was careful to tell Goliath that he was just the tool. That God was going to be the one that earned the victory. He said, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into, and he even said, our hands. He included the army that was behind him. He wasn't that lone wolf that just went out there and said, I'm going to kill this guy. I've been out there in that field, and there's been these little fleas attacking my sheep, and I've been able to sling that sling around and knock a flea off the fur, that booger out there. No, he wasn't talking about his own ability. He's talking about the ability of his God. Goliath had not defied David, although he did. He made fun of him. He mocked him. But David didn't come out there and say, well, you're making fun of me, so I'm going to make you pay, mister. No. He said, you've defied my God. And God's going to make you pay. Right? So that has to do with this thing of being modest. So just a few categories, and Once again, this is not at all exhaustive in its idea, but it's something to get you to think about this thing of being modest. First of all, modest in word. So in other words, restrained, moderate, becoming suitable, right? These things, remember these ideas that have to do with modest. So modest in word. In Colossians 3, the Bible tells us, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. So, what is the restraint and what is the moderation that is put forth here? That is to let the peace of God rule in our hearts. Let His Word rule in our hearts. You see, as we consider what we need to do to be modest in our own lives, we need to consider the ways of God and the things of God and let Him rule in our hearts. When the flesh rules, I'm not modest. And neither are you. Proud, boastful, that's the flesh. What's the spirit? Humility. We talked about humbleness before. We talked about being godly before. Okay, this is related to that in so many ways. In Colossians chapter 4, Paul continues to say, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. That thing of being thankful is mentioned twice now. With all praying, also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be alway with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. So doesn't that have attached with it that restraint, right? That moderation, that sense of propriety, this not being forward, if you will, but and not necessarily extreme or extravagant, but simply preaching the things of God, speaking the mystery of Christ, making it manifest as I ought to do. This is just something within the bounds of being what I ought to be as a Christian. You know, sometimes I've heard some preachers say some pretty outlandish things. Well, I have. Hey, listen, I've heard preachers say some things very distinctly and very forwardly, I guess you could say, and they weren't necessarily right. But boy, they preached some hellfire out there. I mean, okay. To what end? You see, we've got to be careful. And Paul says, as I ought to speak. Our speech needs to be with grace, seasoned with salt. Remember what Paul said about being all things to all men, that he might save some. You know what that is? Modesty. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, Paul says this, for therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. These things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. So, as we evaluate our words, the things that we say, the things that we utter, the things that we speak, they need to be restrained. They need to be moderate. They need to be becoming and suitable and graceful. Our speech needs to be seasoned with salt. It needs to be always with grace, seasoned with salt. that it may accomplish the work that it's supposed to accomplish. The Bible talks about vain babblings. Just shooting off at the mouth, if you will. You can call it a potty mouth if you want to. I don't know, whatever you want to call it. It just runs like blah, 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 blah. To what end? To what purpose? Well, why? What is all the uttering for? What is all the words for? Do they have a purpose? Do they have any kind? Are they just? Is it just extravagant? It talks about people thinking that she'll be heard for their much speaking. Well, sometimes it's better to say less than it is to say more. Anyways, we need to be modest in word. Take your Bibles and turn to James chapter 3. James chapter 3. Are there times to speak up and be extreme or excessive? Yes, there are. But that's not always the case. And can I say that's not most of the time the case? The exception should not become the rule. Right? Because then it's not the exception anymore. That makes sense pretty clearly. Look at verse 1. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, that they may obey us. And we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great, are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beasts, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth the fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. That about covers it, doesn't it? Being modest in word. David says, rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. Praise ye the Lord, for it is a good thing to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant, and praise is comely. What comes out of your mouth? What comes out of my mouth? Is it modest in the eyes of the Lord? Is it right? You see, but David was yelling at the giant there. Yes and no. I think it was quite restrained, especially on the flesh side. I think he was very in tune with the Holy Spirit of God at that particular moment. Now, were there times where he wasn't? Yes. Was there times when David wasn't modest in word? Yes. But he was human too. It was a characteristic he needed to work on, even though he was a man after God's own heart. So what's that to say about us? Need a little more work, maybe. Modest in word. All right? Now take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 147. I just read verse 1 for you about praise being comely. But it's more than just our word and what comes out of our mouth. It's also the way we behave. Our behavior needs to be modest. Psalm 147 in verse 1 says, "Praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God. For it is pleasant, and praise is comely. The Lord doth build up Jerusalem. He gathereth together the outcasts of Israel. He healeth the broken in heart, and bindeth up their wounds. He telleth the number of the stars. He calleth them all by their names. Great is our Lord, and of great power. His understanding is infinite. The Lord lifteth up the meek. He casteth the wicked down to the ground. Sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praise upon the harp unto our God, who covereth the heaven with clouds, who prepareth the rain for the earth, who maketh grass to grow upon the mountains. He giveth to the beast his food, and to the young ravens which cry. He delighteth not in the strength of the horse. He taketh not pleasure in the legs of a man. The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him, in those that hope in his mercy. Praise the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise thy God, O Zion. For he hath strengthened the bars of thy gates. He hath blessed thy children within thee. He maketh peace in thy borders, and filleth thee with the finest of the wheat. He sendeth forth his commandment upon the earth. His word runneth very swiftly. He giveth snow like wool. He scattereth the hoarfrost like ashes. He casteth forth his ice like morsels. Who can stand before his cold? He sendeth out his word and melteth them. He causeth his wind to blow and the waters flow. He showeth his word unto Jacob, his statutes and judgments unto Israel. He hath not dealt so with any nation. And as for his judgments, they have not known them. Praise ye the Lord." In behavior, those that fear God, those that choose to praise God with their life, it is them that God takes pleasure in. Do you want God to take pleasure in your life? Then it doesn't need to be about you. It needs to be about Him. Whatever it is that you are about, it ought to be about the things of God. In Titus chapter 2, it talks about the way we should behave ourselves in this world. He says, "But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience." Hey, folks, that's behavior. That's how they behave themselves. "The aged women, likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers." And by the way, that's having control or restraint of the words. "Not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient unto their own husbands." Okay, listen. Right in there are some of those things of the physical modesty that we often focus on more than the modesty of the heart. Obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. "Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed." So those who are not modest ought to be ashamed. And listen, as we talk about physical modesty, in that sense, those that do cover themselves in such a way, showing restraint, have nothing to be ashamed of. But those that reveal everything sure ought to be ashamed. Shouldn't they? But here he says, not to be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters and to please them well in all things. Not answering again, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of our Savior in all things. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. You know what those things are? That's modesty. That's the sense of it. Being, if you will, not extravagant, suitable, graceful, restrained, moderate, not excessive or extreme. These things, he says, speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. We're looking for that blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. In Psalm 101, it says, I will sing of mercy and judgment. Unto thee, O Lord, will I sing. I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. O when wilt thou come unto me? I will walk within mine house with a perfect heart. How do we achieve this? Not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. It's the only way. Through the Spirit and Holy, through the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of God that dwells within the believer, to behave ourselves the way we should. When we walk in the flesh, it's misery. It's death. It's not the ways of God. But when we walk in the Spirit, it is life and peace and blessing. He that worketh deceit shall not dwell within mine house. He that telleth lies shall not tarry in my sight. I will early destroy all the wicked of the land, that I may cut off all wicked doers from the city of the Lord. I love what Jesus said, and this is talking about the behavior that we ought to have. It's exampled by David and how he handled himself on the battlefield. Remember this parable in Luke 14? He said, and he put forth a parable to those which were bidden, when he marked how they chose out the chief rooms, saying unto them, when thou art bidden of any man to a wedding, sit not down in the highest room, lest a more honorable man than thou be bidden of him. And he that bade thee, and him come and say to thee, give this man place, and thou being with shame taken to take to the lowest room. But when thou art bidden, go and sit down in the lowest room, that when he that bade thee cometh, he may say unto thee, friend, go up higher. Then shalt thou have worship in the presence of them that sit at meat with thee. For whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. See, that's humility. Yes, it's also modesty. It's showing that restraint, showing that sense of propriety. You understand, not being forward and not being bold. Those disciples want to sit at the right hand of the Lord. He said, if you want to be the greatest in the kingdom, you need to be the servant of all. That's showing modesty in our behavior. All right, one more. Take your Bibles and turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2. Oh, you're turning too slow tonight. I'm going to have to read fast. Perhaps it's because I was out of breath playing an instrument. These days, the most exercise I get is lifting my coffee cup up like this and donut like this. That's the best kind, right? Yeah. All right. Look at verse 1. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time, whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting, in like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broidered hair, or gold, or pearls, or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. You see, here is modesty in our actions. What people see on the outside, what they experience from day to day, because, you know, it does matter what we look like. It does. Why were the people in Antioch called Christians? Because it was just a cute nickname? Sounded good, right? No, it's because of their actions. Because they looked like Jesus. They acted like Jesus. They did the things that Jesus did. Doesn't James say to just be a hearer is not enough? But both to be a hearer of the word and a doer of it. This man shall be blessed in his deeds. Aren't we created in Christ Jesus unto good works? That we should walk in them. We should. So part of being modest is not just on the inside. You say, well, I do those things. That inward man, that inside part is important. Yes, but let it show on the outside so they can see what God is doing in your life. You say, the Bible is just picking on women here with not having broidered hair or gold or pearls or costly array. Well, it doesn't just pick on girls. Can I tell you something? Men can live immodestly also. And often do. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, this is not just pertaining to pastors and deacons. But listen to this list. And ladies, if you think you have it bad. This is a true saying. If a man, and by the way, none of it's bad. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. A bishop then should be blameless. That's a tough one there. The husband of one wife. That's not too hard. For me anyways. Maybe for some others. Vigilant. Sober. Of good behavior. We talked about that. Given to hospitality. Apt to teach. Not given to wine. No striker. Not greedy of filthy lucre. But patient, not a brawler, not covetous. One that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. Likewise, must the deacons be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy of filthy lucre, holding the mystery of the faith in pure conscience. And let these also be first proved, and then And then let them use the office of a deacon, being found blameless. Even so must their wives be grave, not slanderers, sober, faithful in all things. Let the deacons of the husband be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children in their own house as well. For they that have used the office of a deacon well purchase to themselves a good degree and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. These things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on the world, received up into glory. Now I have a few more scriptures, but for sake of time, I just summarize this idea. All the things that we've shown so far have to do with how we live out our life in modesty. You see, it's not just how long your skirt is, or how tight your clothing is or not tight it is. It's not just about the apparel portion. That's a very small aspect, although important, because it's part of our actions and our behavior. But really, it's this thing of the heart. It's this thing of how we see things. Do we see them according to as the flesh and man sees them, or according to the Spirit and God sees them? According to the Word of God. David was known. He was seen by others as a comely individual. What do people see when they look at you? Do they see modesty? And again, I'm not just talking about your clothing. I'm talking about you, your words, your behavior, and your actions.